Memhe Amud Aleph. We're going to start at the two dots on Memhe Amud Aleph. So there it says, Hahu Avdo, the Arok Michutz La'aretz La'aretz. So you have this slave that ran away from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Israel. So based on this, Azal Mare Abatre, his master chased after him. Ata the Kamei de Rabbi Ami. So he comes before Rabbi Ami to reclaim his slave. Samarle, Nichtov Lecha Shtora Dame. Let us write you a shtar that he will obligate himself to pay you the money that he owes you for, you know, meaning for freeing him. Chtovle Gita de Cheruta. And then you write him a get shichur. Ve'ilo, and if not, Mafkana le Minach. Because otherwise, I'm going to free him, and you're going to be out of everything because of this limud of Rav Achi Rabbi Yoshia. Now, who's this Rav Achi Rabbi Yoshia? The Tanya. We have a braisa. Lo yeshvu ba'artzecho pen yachti otchali. So that this is by the Shiva Umamot, which says that you shouldn't leave them in your land because they may cause you to go astray when they're left in the land. So Gemara says, Yocho ba'ovid kochavim shikibil alav shalo avod avodat kochavim akatuv demedaber. You would think that the pasuk was possibly talking about someone who has accepted not to worship avodah zarah. Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, lo tazkir eved el adunav asher yinatzel elecha mi'im adunav. You may not return an eved to his master who runs away to you from his master. So my takanato, what do you do with him when he runs away to you? Imcha yeshev bikir becha. He remains amongst you. He stays amongst in your midst. V'kashle the Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia has a problem with this pasuk. Hai mi'im adunav. What do you mean mi'im adunav? What is he running away from his master? It says mi'im aviv, and an alternative girsa is mi'im elohav. Right, that he's running away from his father, really from his god. Miboyele, it should say. So here you have an Ovid Kochavim who's running away. It's a non-Jewish slave that's running away to you. And he's running into you because he wants to stay with you and he wants to reject the Avodah Zarah. So this Pasuk is Mare on the first Pasuk that we must be talking about. When we're talking about the Shiva Umos here that we're leaving behind, we're talking about someone who is Ovid Ovid Kochavim. Because when he's not worshiping Avodah Kochavim, then we tell you to Imcha Yeshe Bikirbecha. He should stay amongst you. The Gemara says, Ela Amar Rabbi Yoshia. So has Rabbi Yoshia explained that pasuk? B'mocher avdo l'chutz la'aretz akadav medaber. This is not talking about a non-Jewish slave or a non-Jewish person who worships the Avodah Zarah, wants to come to you and not worship the Avodah Zarah, but rather it's talking about someone who sells his slave, his Eved Kanani, out to chutz la'aretz. Right? So now that's what the pasuk means. Lo, right? Taskir Eved al adunav. You can't force him to go back to his master, that he ran away from his master. He didn't want to go to Chutz La'aretz, so he runs away to stay in Eretz Yisrael. You can't return him and send him out to Chutz La'aretz. That's what Rav Yoshia says. Then, at that point, it's Rav Kashale, the Rav Achib, Rav Yoshia. Rav Achib, Rav Yoshia has a problem with Rav Yoshia's pshat, Rav Yishai's pshat in this pasuk. Why? Because here it says, Hayashay Natzel Elecha. The pasuk says that he runs away to you. It should say, Asher yinatzel me'imcha, that it runs away from you. I mean, that where does this Eved? This Eved was taken to Chutz La'aretz, and now he's running back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Eved is actually running away from me'imcha, from you, rather elecha to you. Meaning that he's trying to escape from being taken away from you. I mean, he's trying to escape from you, sending him out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. It's the other way around. It's an Eved that ran away from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Pasuk's talking about. That's what he means, Lehinatele Lecha. He's running to you. He's running to Eretz Yisrael to escape from his master. You may not return him. So this, based on this, this is what Rav Ami said. Rav Ami says, if you don't agree to my decision here, that you give him a get shechor and we'll give you a get chov, that the Eved would say, I'll pay for my value, then what are we going to do? I'm going to darshan the pasuk of Achib Rabbi Yoshia, who says that, guess what? When an Eved runs from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, he's basically, you can't return him. You don't return to his Adon. So if that's the case, you're out of everything. So you better agree to my position, otherwise you're going to lose this Eved entirely. So now, the Gemara says, Tanya Yidoch, we have an alternative shot in this, both Taskir Eved al Dunav, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says the interpretation of this pasuk is, Blokeach Eved, Amanat Ashachroa, Akatuv Medaber. It's a person who buys an Eved, Kanani, on the condition that he will free this Eved Kanani. So Lo Taskir Eved al Dunav means that the Beis Din will enforce this person's commitment to free him after he buys him. Hechidami, what was the case? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak dichtav le hachi. He wrote to him like this. He wrote such a commitment to the Eved Kenani. Leshe ekachacha, right? When I buy you, hariatz mecha kanui lach lecha miachshav. When I buy you, you will be free. You will take full possession of yourself from now. I mean that he basically, Rabbi is holding like Rabbi Meir, which says that you can be makne dover shelo bali olam, that you're able to create a kinyan on something that does not exist yet. Because here, this person is committing to the Eved Kenani who he does not own yet, that when he does own him, he will free him. And that works, according to Rabbi. And that's the pasuk lo tezkir ela donav, you may not return the Eved to his master, means that if you make such a commitment to Eved Kenani, you may not renege on such a commitment, and the Beis Din will enforce the commitment. That's Rabbi's position about what that pasuk is speaking about. Now, the Gemara is going to bring a case. Rav Chista, Arkle Avda the Beit Kutai. Rav Chista, who was in Chutzlaretz, had an Eved who ran away to the Beit Kutai. Shalach Luhu Hadrua Ani'ali. He said, send him back to me. You know, I mean, send my Eved back. Shochulei lo taskir Eved el Adonav. But there's a pasuk that you may not return an Eved who runs away from his master. You cannot return him, right? You're not obligated, or you shouldn't. Right? The pasuk says you shouldn't return him to his master. So skip the parentheses and it says, Shalach Luhu. He wrote back to him, Ha'u be'eved shebarach mechutz la'aretz la'aretz. But that's talking about, that pasuk is talking about an Eved that goes from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. There you can't return him. Uka de Rabbi Achib Rabbi Oshia. They gave him the interpretation of Achib Rabbi Oshia about that pasuk. What does that pasuk mean? Lotus Ge'eved al-Dunav. It's an instance where an Eved ran from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says, U'mayishna de'sholach lehu k'Rabbi Achib Rabbi Oshia. Right, why did he use that? There were two interpretations we saw of that pasuk. One was Rav Achib Rabbi Yoshia, and the other one was Rabbi. He gave an interpretation of the pasuk. Why did he choose Rav Achib Rabbi Yoshia and not Rebbe's interpretation? Either one would have supported his position that they cannot withhold his Eved from withhold giving his Eved back to him. So why didn't he give Rebbe's interpretation, which said that if you commit to free a slave, you must free him? And that's not the case here either. Where it says, Mishum Demashma Lehu Krai, that these Beit Kutai, if the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk seems the way that it's interpreted, they will believe it or they'll go along with it. As opposed to a Drushas Chachamim, where they Beit Kutai would not acquiesce or not accept that interpretation of the Pasuk. If the Pasuk was interpreted close to Pshat, then they would agree to it. So Rav Achib Rav Yoshi, that's what Rav Chista believed was, they would feel was closer to Pshat, and since it was closer to Pshat, they were willing to, right, go along with that and not have to return the Eved. Alright, so now Abaye, Irkas Le Chamra Beit Kutai. So this is just brought down because it has the same subjects in here, the Beit Kutai, which is Abaye had a Chamra, had a donkey that ran away to Beit Kutai. Shalach Luhu, he sent to them, Shadrueli, send me back my donkey. Right, Shochulei, they sent back to him, Shalach Simona. You know, if you want your Aveda back, you need to give a Simon. Shalach Luhu de Chivara Krise, said his stomach is white. Shochulei, Ilav de Nachmaniat, if you're not, right, because we said before that Abaye had the name, was taken on the nickname Nachmani, because he grew up in the house of Rabbi Bar Nachmani, right, so then he got the nickname Nachmani. It says, if you were not Nachmani, meaning that you were a chassid, and we knew you to be a trustworthy person, love him Mishadron Aleh, we wouldn't return it based on that simon, right, Nialach, Atu Kule Chamar Lav Krisayu Chayvar Ninhu, all donkeys have a white stomach, so what type of simon is that? That's not a simon Muvhak, that's not a simon at all. But they said, because we know that you're a trustworthy person, despite that, we will send you back the donkey. Again, I think the case here is brought because of Beit Kutai, which is they were the participant, or they were a party to this, just like they were the party in the situation of Rav Chista. Right. This next Mishnah is a Mishnah that's brought here because of the Tikkun Olam aspect of it, but the Mishnah itself, to be honest, is the core of this Mishnah is in Ksubos, and we actually did the Sugya together in Ksubos. And therefore, the Gemara is not so explicit over here. It's not as expansive as it is in Ksubos. We'll mention some of the things from Ksubos, but it'll run much faster here because the key sugyot are in Ksubos, and we spend more time on halacha there in Ksubos. It says, "En po dimet ha-shvuyim yeter akadei dimehim." We do not redeem captives for more than their worth. Mipnei tikkun olam, because of tikkun olam, which we'll see in the Gemara. What's the tikkun olam here? Ve'en mavrichim et ha-shvuyim mipnei tikkun olam. We don't encourage captives to run away because of Tikkun Olam. Over here, the Tikkun Olam, according to the Tanakhama, means that we don't encourage captives to run away because we're afraid that in the future, when captives are taken, they will place more pressure or limits on the captives because of the running away of these captives. Then in the future, they'll tighten down or clamp down on them so that they can't run away. We don't worry about future captives. We worry about the current captives, meaning that if you have multiple captives and some of them run away, then the remaining captives will be also clamped down on or have more pressure put on them because they don't want them to run away. So Gemara says, what's the tikkun olam here that we're talking about, that we say that a slave, that we say we don't encourage shvuyim, we don't encourage captives to run away? So there's one possibility, is mishum duchacha de tziburahu, right? I'm sorry, not the running away, but here we don't pay for yoter kimei demeim, we don't pay for more than their value. One is duchacha de tzibura, we don't want to put too much pressure on the tzibur, meaning that if we keep having them to pay up so much money, it'll put a huge pressure on the tzibur to raise this money each time, which will become an impossibility after a certain amount of time. Or is it not to encourage future kidnappings, meaning that if we pay a lot of money, then it'll create an incentive for the captors to go ahead and take more captives, more shvuyim, because they make more money by keep doing it. They think that it's a worthwhile endeavor. Tashma, the Levi Bar Darga, so this individual, Levi Bar Darga, Pirko de Verate, Betleser Alfe Dinari Zarab, he freed his daughter, right, for 13,000 gold coins, or gold dinarim. So we see from this, what's the proof from here? The proof from here that the problem must be duchaka de tzibura. Why? Because here an individual who does not create duchaka de tzibura, because he's taken upon himself, goes ahead and pays a lot of money. If the problem was that we don't want to encourage kidnappings, even if an individual goes and pays the money, he will encourage kidnappings. But if it's duchaka de tzibura, he didn't create any duchaka de tzibura. So Amar Abai, how can you bring a proof from this case? Uman lemelan de bretzon chachamim avat. Who says that Levi Bar Darga was doing the right thing? Nobody praised what he did. This is just, it's a fact, but it's not necessarily halachically, right, efficacious. Dilma, shalom b'tzon chachamim avad. Maybe he did it against the will of the chachamim. So you can't bring any proof here to which side this goes. So again, the Gemara in Ksubos deals with some of the more nafkaminot over there. The nafkamina is if he has a rich father, or he has a karav, was willing to be po to him, right, and that won't cause the tzibur. That's the major nafkamina over here. Tosus also points out that case in Ksubos, where we say that a person has to redeem his wife, even yoter can make him made to mayhem. That even for a larger sum than their worth, you have to redeem your wife. And Tosus says the reason for that is because ishto kagufo. So that when it comes to ishto kagufo, when it comes to a person himself, he may spend as much money as he wants to redeem himself, because there's no limit to the amount of money one may spend on himself to free himself. Meaning that just like all your money is subject to do a mitzvah, or to available to do a mitzvah for yourself, so too if you're going to free yourself from pidyon shvuyim, right, your money should be, we can't limit the amount of money one will spend on themselves to redeem themselves. Right. So there's no limit when it comes to yourself. And since ishto kagufo, that same thing will apply by ishto kagufo. Tosus brings an additional case. They were also porek. They freed a tinok for also for more money than it should have been. And there, Tosus gives two possibilities. One is muflag b'chachma, which means that he's a tamar chacham, a tremendous tamar chacham. Or he says by shar chorban abayis, everything's wiped out, because since there was so much kidnapping, it had no relevance how much money you paid, because they were kidnapping with or without the encouragement. They had no, there was no basis for it. But based on this, Tosus comes up with three exceptions then to the rule about we don't pay more. One is yourself. Number two is your wife, who is yourself. And the last one would be someone who's muflag b'chachma, or somebody who's a tamid chacham, where we may not necessarily, they may be exceptions to this rule of yoter mi kedemei demeim. The Gemara Ksubos also. Yeah, there was a tinot. He is. This Tinoch was a Mufog B'chachma. That's what the Tosa suggests. Okay. He was a prodigy child. Exactly. Very good. So that's it. So now, the Gemara in Ksubos does mention additional possibilities, which is something called Sakanat Nefashot. Right? There's a possible exception is we feel that the lives of the Shvuyim are in danger, meaning to the point of death, that maybe there's an exception there. And that brings today the modern issues today with Pidyon Shvuyin, which is if it's Yoter Kimitim Mayhem, how do we weigh that versus Sakanat Nefashot? Meaning that how do we weigh the balance between this Tikkun Olam of not encouraging further kidnappings, but on the other hand, how do we deal with the Sakanat Nefashot? Anybody's held in captivity of these people, we know that their lives are not safe, or not considered to be safe, and therefore they are B'Sakanat Nefashot. So we have to very delicate balance and very difficult decisions, halachic decisions. Again, the sugya, the main sugya is in Ksubos. That's what we discussed in the Gemara Ksubos, that when it comes to Sakanat Vashot, that when there is Sakanat Nefashot that's in front of you and the possibility of future Sakanat Nefashot, we don't consider the possible future Sakanat Nefashot in the face of current Sakanat Nefashot. So that may be, it may not weigh. Meaning that this issue, when you're dealing with current, I mean, what is a present danger, we don't necessarily then consider what's the possibility of other people being in danger. I mean, so Kanavat Fosh means deals what's immediately in front of us and not which is in the future. All right, again, the main sugya is in Ksubas. We discussed it then, but it's a very, very difficult topic, of course, because of today, of the modern-day issues that we face with Pidyon Shvuim. Now, Benatei de Rav Nachman, Bachshan K'dei Rabbi Yadayu, they were able to stir pots, hot pots, with their arms. So people thought that the reason that they were able to do this was because they were tzidkaniyot, that they were very righteous women, and therefore they were able to perform miracles, and they were able to stir these hot pots with their arms. They didn't need stirring spoons. So Kashalei the Rav Ilish. Rav Ilish was disturbed by this issue, because Ketiv, it says in Kohelet, Adam echad me'elef matzati, one of 1,000 people I find is a tzaddik, v'isha b'cholelo lo matzati, and I didn't find a single woman who was a tzidkaniyot, a tzaddekis in that group. So Gemara says, v'haika b'nate the Rav Nachman. So that he says, what? You know, I think it must be the, you know, but he goes, what do we do with these b'nate the Rav Nachman, who seem to be tzidkaniyot or tzaddekis, and how can we deal with this issue? So anyway, Garmalahu Milsa, something happened, Vishtavion, and they were all taken into captivity. All taken into captivity is that the Benatei de Rav Nachman, the daughters of Nachman, Vishtabai Ihu Nami Vadayo, and Rav Ilish was also taken captivity. I mean, they were all kidnapped at the same time. Yomachad, Haviyotiv Gabei, Hau Gavrat, Haviyoda Belishna de Tzipuri, that there was an individual sitting next to Rav Ilish in captivity who knew the language of the birds. Ata Urva, a raven comes along, the Kakarile, and is calling out, stripping away. Amalei, so Rav Ilish leans over to the guy who knows the language of the birds and says, my Kamar, what is this bird saying? He says, Amalei, Ilish Barach, Ilish Barach. He says, Rav Ilish, run away, run away. So Amar Urva Shikrahu. And he says that ravens don't tell the truth. I'm assuming this is based on Noach, the story by Noach, but he says we can't trust the raven to give me good news. Los Michin Ale, I won't rely on it. Adahochi Ata Yona. So then a dove came. The Kakario, and he was also calling out. Amalei, my Kamra. Again, he asked the guy who understands the language of the birds, what's he saying? Amalei, Ilish Barach, Ilish Barach. Again, he's encouraging Rav Ilish to run away, run away. Amar Knesset Yisrael Kayonam Etilo, right? This Knesset Yisrael is compared to a Yonah, because it says Yonati Tamati, right? And that's Rav Elisha Bal Knafayim is the story in Brachot, right? In Shabbos, that these Kayonam Etelet, that's what he says when he puts a tefillin in his hands, he says it'll turn into a Yonah. Right, Shema Minam, it's Rachesh Linisa. He says, all right, now if the Yonah comes, we can trust the Yonah, and therefore there's going to be a miracle. I'm out of here. Amar Izil Achse Benatei de Rav Nachman Ikaimin Behim Natayu. He says, before I leave, let me check up on the daughters of Rav Nachman, see if they are trustworthy or truthful, you know, they are keeping their faith in that sense before I go, so that I can either report on them or Ahadrinu, or I will bring them back with me, meaning that I'll have them run away with me also. So Amar Neshei, Komili de Islahu, Sadrin Lahadadi Vivet Kise, that whenever women want to discuss their private matters or to, they let their secrets loose, is when in the bathrooms. There in those days, the bathrooms were out in the fields, and so the women used to speak and spill their beans out there. Shemaino, Tikam Amran, Adai Guvrin, Fenardai Guvrin. They're saying these captors are our husbands, and then Nahardai, the people we were married to in Nahardai, are also our husbands. Let's tell our captors to take us far away from here to the late to ancient, right? People won't hear about us or know about us, and take us away. We're happy here with these captors, meaning that they had basically, you know, married to these captors and were happy with their situation. They didn't want to leave. So come, Arak. Right? So he left. Rav Ilish is out of here. He said, I'm not here. Ata Ihu, Bahau Gavra, right? And he went. He takes off, and he takes the guy who spoke with, understood the language of birds, also goes with him. For him, a miracle happened. Aver b'mavra. He was able to cross the river, or the water, whatever body of water, he was either to get a ferry or a bridge across, and then he was on the other side. They couldn't capture him. As the other guy who ran away with him was unable to, and they found him, and they killed him. Right? Kihadron, when they came back, va'atan, right? He says, when he got back, and he then had questioned before about the Benatei de Rav Nachman, how were they able to mix the pots and they were tzidkaniyot, and that didn't go with the pasuk, it didn't match with the pasuk in Kohelet. He said, "Amar havakol bachsh v'atan, amar havakol bachshan kader b'chshafim kshafim." Right? It was clear that they were mixing this pot with witchcraft or sorcery because they were no tzidkaniyot. Because of his experience with them in captivity, he saw that they had given in to their captors and basically wanted to stay with their captors. It was clear that they were not tzidkaniyot. And because of that, what had happened prior, which was a stira to the pasuk, he now can interpret and say that their mixing of the pot was done derech kshafim, and that is not a stira to the pasuk in Kohelet. All right. Next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, "V'ain." This is a continuation, similar type of idea to the Shvuyim, that we're not pulled to the Shvuyim Yoter Mikdei Demehem. It says, "V'ain lochim sfarim, tefillin u'mezuzot min ha'ovdik l'chavim yoter mikdei demehem." We do not purchase, right, sfarim, sifrei Torah, tefillin mezuzot from non-Jews, more than their true value, mipnei tikkun olam. Again, mipnei tikkun olam, Rashi says it's the same two issues that we would face by Shvuim, which is either one is because ducha de tzibura, that would cause a problem for the tzibur because they have to raise the money each time, or number two is mishum de lo garvelaitu, that we don't encourage them to steal more sifrei Torah, tefillin mezuzot, because then they would, you know, they know it's a big money maker if they do this. Amalei rabodji al ravashi, yeter akedei demeim hudein lochim. Sounds like we don't purchase it from a non-Jew for more than their true value. Ha, b'kdei demeim lochim. But what sounds like if you could purchase them from a goy, not a problem, as long as you paid their true value. Shmamina. So from this we can conclude, sefer Torah shenimtza biyado v'techavim korinbo. Right? Maybe we can conclude from our Mishnah that what? That a sefer Torah that's found in the hands of an ovechavim you're allowed to use. The fact that we redeem them, right, shows you that we're redeeming them at their true value because we want to use them. Right? It says, nah, Dilma Lignos. Who says that? Maybe we buy them back from them, not because we're certain that we can use them, but because we want to treat them properly. We don't want them left in the hands of the Chavim. We will repurchase them in order to place them into Geniza. And that's why it's that. So you can't bring a proof from here about what's the status of a sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzos, that comes from an ovi kochavim, which is a subject we're going to see in a second. The Gemara is going to go through it. It's a three-way machlokas, what the status of a sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzos, that comes from a goy. Amar Rav Nachman. Naktinan, sefer Torah, shekadvo min. So the sefer Torah that is written by a min, as Rashi calls a min, is someone who's aduk be'ovde kochavim, right? He's someone who's, you know, totally enveloped or immersed in avodas kochavim, like a komer. Right, someone who services the Ovid Chavim, like a priest, right, or a someone who is a Kohen to Avodah Zarah. So that Sefer Torah Shekadvo Min Isareif. Right, so that gets burnt. Kadvo Ovid Chavim, if it's written by just a regular Ovid Chavim, Iganez, it'd be put into Geniza. Nimtza Biyad Min. Now, on the other hand, if it's not written by him, but rather it is found in his hands, Iganez, it goes into Geniza. On the other hand, Nimtza Biyad Ovid Chavim, right, if it's found in the hands of the Ovid Chavim, that he didn't write it, but he has possession of it, Amri lo yiganez. Some people say it goes into Geniza, v'amri lo korin. And some say that you actually read it. You can read it, korinbo. Why? What is the right korinbo? What's the reason that you read it? So Rashi says, why is it that you're korinbo? Rashi says because it's a sfeik sfeika here. There's a sfeik sfeika. First of all, maybe a Jew wrote it. Right, that's number one. And number two is, even if the goy wrote it, maybe he wrote it to sell it to a Jew, and he didn't write the shame of the kochavim, of those kochavim. The only slime assumption is that a goy who writes it, it's a kosher sefer Torah. But that's a sfeika sfeika here. There's a possibility two arms of the, you know, the tree of logic tree would say that this is a kosher sefer Torah, and therefore it should be good. Tosfos rejects that and says no. The reason that we say it's kosher or korinbo is because what is an Ovi Chachavim doing with a Sefer Torah? I mean, that it's unlikely that an Ovi Chachavim is in possession of a Sefer Torah because he wrote one for a Jew. I mean, that's just not the normal way things are done. In fact, he has it in possession. It's most likely that a Jew wrote it, and that's how it ended up in his possession. All right, so now, Torah, shekadvo Oved Chachavim. Right, so a Torah written by an Ovi Chachavim, Tani Chado Isareif. Right, one Tana says that it gets burnt. V'tanya Idach Iganez. Another one says it goes into Geniza, V'tani Yidach Korinbo, that you can actually read such, you can use such a Sefer Torah. Right, so now how do we explain this three-way machlokas about the status of a Sefer Torah written by an Oved Kochavim? Right, we have one Tana that says Yisareif, it's burnt, one Yiganez, and one Korimbo. So Gemara says Lokasha, these are three different opinions. Gemara's going to go through each opinion. Hadatan Yisareif, the one who says Yisareif is according to Rabbi Lazahi. Damar, Stam, Machshevet Avot, Kochavin Avadat, Kochavim. He believes that the underlying, right, the underlying thought process of a person who is an Ovi Kochavim is towards his Avadat Kochavim. Everything does is committed towards the Avadat Kochavim. Tanyo Yiganez, the one who says, the Brisa that says Yiganez, and not Yisareif, that is high Tanahu. This is this Tana. The Tani Rav Amnuna Brei de Rava mi Pashronia Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzot Shekatvan. Right. This is Masur. Someone is a gives over people to the government. Ayed Amalshin Oved Kochavim or written by a non-Jew. VeEved VeIsha VeKatan VeKuti VeYisrael Mumar. All of these people. Right. Mean an Eved. An Isha woman and a Katan, we'll see what the problem with them is. Vikuti, this is based on the one who says that the Kutim were Gera Rayot, so they were not real Gerim. Yisrael Mumar, and an Yisrael who does not, right, believe in Torah and Mitzvot or somehow is in violation of Torah or belief in Torah and Mitzvot. Right, Psulim, all of these are Pasul. These Sifrei Torah are Psulim. Why? Shenemar. Because they have a Hekesh. It says in the Pasul, Ukshartam Leota Yadecha, and it says, Ukhtavtam, Hamazizot Beitecha. So where do we see? We see Ukshartam. Koshieshno b'kshira. Someone who's chayv in kshirat fill in, which is what? That is a man. What a woman, it's a mitzvah sasesh or zman gramat tefillin. Therefore, they're not mechuyavim in the mitzvah of tefillin. Yeshno b'ktiva. They are able to or qualified to write a sefer Torah. Chosh eno b'kshira, eno b'ktiva. And anybody who does not put on tefillin, therefore is in right, right in violation, or is unable to write a sefer Torah. So that disqualifies obligated to put on tefillin, right? That's how I phrased that wrong. Okay, so that's interesting. So the problem of ktiva and kshira, this hekesh, is only the problem for Eved, Isha, and Katan. Those are for those three. That's what disqualifies them. The problem for Kuti, Yisrael Mumar, Masur, and a Moser, or an Ovi Kochavim, is the problem that they're Porekol. Right? They don't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we can't trust them to write something L'Shem Shamayim, or to write it properly. So therefore they lack trust. That's what Rashi says, that they were all these people are Porek O, that they parku me aleim O, and therefore we can't trust them. So in this case, we ganez, because we're not certain that they wrote it for the Avodas Kochavim, they wrote it for the wrong reason, but we can't trust them to write it for the right reason. Because of that suffix, we are put it into gniza. Now, the failure of Eved, Isha, and Katan, again, is the failure is not in their lishma aspect. That's a technical problem, which is that since they're not mechuyav in tefillin, right, that then they are not able to do ksiva. It's important, Rabbeinu Tam over here. It's a very important Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosos of Koshin Yeshu B'Kshira Yeshna B'Ktiva. If you look in that Tosos, it says Mikan Omer Rabbeinu Tam, De'ein Isha Ogeret Lulav Voset Tzitzit. A woman can't wrap a lulav or make tzitzit. Came into a miskido because they are not commanded in these mitzvot. So even though maybe they can do them right voluntarily, but they are not commanded in these mitzvot. And the Tosos rejects this. Ein Anira. The Lomei Pasplina, and he says by tzitzis we're not posel tzitzis by Oved Kochavim, right? Except because we dorish Bnei Yisrael and not Oved Kochavim, and also by Sukkah he points out that Sukkot Ganbach are kosher for Sukkah. I mean, one of the Sukkot that is kosher is the Sukkah of a Goy. Is if it's done right, if it's done before, you know, the shame Sukkah, even if a Goy does it, it can be kosher. So we see there's no automatic disqualification in a mitzvah just because you're not mechuyav in the mitzvah. And that is a gzeres hakatuv, as you said before, Shaul. So gzeres hakatuv here, that by Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs, there's a gzeres hakatuv uksharetem uchtavtem. So it's unique to this mitzvah that if you're not mechuyav, then you can't do the ksiva. But that's not a general principle that you're not mechuyav in a mitzvah, you can't participate in the mitzvah. So machlokas here, so between Tosus and the Rabbeinu Tam, right, whether women are, for instance, by tzitzis, are disqualified from making tzitzis. We are. Lalocha, we're choshesh for it, and when it comes to, at least, maybe with ketanim, we allow them to do it, but generally for tzitzis of gdolim, if you always see the hechsherim that they put on the tzitzis, it says tviat, right? It says tviat yad gavro. Those are the things that are placed there, right? It's tviat yad, it's gasot, and it's it's l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, and it's gavro. It's done by a man. So that's one of the things, one of these ideas that we only use a man to be kosher. Tzitzis comes out of this Rabbeinu Tam over here. All right. So now continuing, we have the last one, which is who says that the Sefer Torah. So far we understood that the author of the one who says that a Sefer Torah written by an Ovi Chacham is, we put into Soreif, That is according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that Stam Machshev Zavodah Kochamim is Zavodah Kochamim. The one who says it goes into Geniza, that we just learned was the Braisa, right, of Rav Hamnuna, which is that we disqualify them because they're Porek Ol. So we're not certain they did it wrong, but we can't trust them to do it right. And now we have the last one, which is what? How do we know the one says Ahadatanya Korinbo, the one who says the Braisa or says that you can, that if an Ovi Kachamim writes a Sefer Torah, it's a kosher Sefer Torah, Had Tanahu, it's this Tanya, the Tanya, Lochim Sfarim in Ovi Kachamim v'chol makom. You can purchase them from a non-Jews in any place, Ubad Shiyuk Tuvim Hilkatan. As long as they're written properly, right, then it's no problem. I mean, that there's no disqualification from an Ovi Kachamim that writes a Sefer Torah, Tfilin Umizuzot. So those are the three different positions that we have. Well, Maisa. No, we don't have an author of that price. Or not an explicit author of that price. Maisa ba'ovi kachavim echad b'tzidan, she'akotev svarim. There was this guy in Tzidan, this Ovi Kachavim, who was a sofer. And v'hita Rabbi Shimon Amil, the kachavim, and Rabbi Shimon Amil says, no problem, you can buy from them. And Maisa says, what do you mean? Rabbi Shimon Amil, ibud lishma ba'i. Right, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel not only requires you to write a Sefer Torah Lishma, he requires you to do the Ibud Orot. You must prepare the Klaf Lishma. That even when you're processing the Klaf, that must be done Lishma. So when it says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Ibud Lishman Bai, Ktiva Lishman Lo Bai? Like, how could it be? How could it be that he requires that you do the processing of the Klaf Lishma, not the writing Lishma? That makes no sense. The Tanya, we have a Braisa, Tzipan Zahav, if he coats the tefillin in gold. Osha Talaleim or Behemat Tmeya, or he uses some sort of non-kosher animal in it, Psulot, they are Pasul, or Behemat Tehorak, Sherot. As long as you kosher animals for the tefillin, then everything's fine. Vafo Pishlo Yipdan Lishman, even though you did not process the skins, right, Lishma. Rabbishim Gamlil Omer, Afilu or Behemat Tehorak, Psulot. That even when you use kosher animal skins, they are pasul ad she'abdan lishman, until they are processed lishma. So clearly, if he held that they're processed lishma, he believes that they're going to be ksiva lishma. So how could it be that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was matir, right, in Tzidan? It can't be true, right, that it was a that he was allowing Ovi Kachavim to write and then use those sifrei Torah. Truth, and the Rabbeinu Tam spends time here explaining that we do paskin alocha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that we require ibud lishma when it comes to Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzot. Right now, Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, Begir, Shechazel, Suro. So they say, no, this case in Tzidan was a different case. It wasn't a case in Ovi Kachavim. It was a case where it was a ger, a convert, who went back to his mother religion. Meaning that he was a ger to become a Jew, and then he returns. Marz says, Lesuro, if this guy went back, Kosh came to Havilimin, then certainly he's a problematic. If he left Judaism to go back, how could you trust a guy like this to write a Sefer Torah? That makes no sense. No. Truthfully, he wanted to remain a Jew, but he goes back to his mother religion because of pressure. He's under fear. They're going to kill him if he doesn't. If he stays a Jew, they're going to kill him. So he goes back because he's, right, there's lachatz placed on him. He's fearing for his life, but not because he believes in Avodas Kochavim or he wants to go back to Avodas Kochavim. So therefore, this ger can be trusted. That's what the case was over there. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel trusted him or allowed him to write Sifrei Torah that they purchased from him. Right now, Tanra Banan, Malin Bitmeim Ad Kedei Tarpik. So the Rabbanan say that, okay, truthfully, the Mishnah says that you can only pay their true value. But here the Braisa says that you can pay a little bit above their true value. So how much can you pay a little bit above their true value? Ad Kedei Tarpik. So the Gemara says, my Tarpik. What's a Tarpik? So Amar Rav Sheshet Istira. It's an Istira. So what's Tarpik we saw was the, that's what my brother-in-law mentioned to me, right, was the coinage that Hillel would get each day. He earned two tarpikim. One he used to get access to the base medrash, and the other half he would use for his food and for his right, well-being. So this is where the term tarpik, this small amount of money, you can tell it's a very, very little amount of money. So what is this tarpik? So Amar Vishay is istaria. What is it, istaria? So Rashi says istaria is a sela medina, right? It's a sela of the medina, which compares to a sela tzipori. Sela tzipori is the equivalent of a sela in a Torah. So a sela medina is 1/8 of a sela tzipori. So a sela has 4 dinarim in it. So if you take 4 dinar of a sela tzipori, and you want to make it to eights, it's half a dinar. So that's basically what it is here. We're talking about a half dinar tzipori, which is the equivalent of a sela medina. So that's how much you can add on. Rashi seems to indicate you can add this on. When we're talking about paying a little more, that's talking about sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzot across the board. You can pay this a little bit more. Tosos rejects that and says it makes no sense. When you're talking about sefer Torah, when you're talking about large sums of money, that little tarpik is meaningless. In the context of a sefer Torah, that amount of money is meaningless. That little extra is irrelevant. It's a rounding error. Whereas by tefillin, he thinks the Gemara is talking about tefillin and mezuzot, where a tarpik might be substantial with regards to the price, or at least a little more than normal, but not by Svarim. That's what he says. He thinks it's going on tefillin and mezuzot. That's an interesting story. Right, so that's not clear, right? You could interpret Tosos one of two ways. Either that the Gemara is not matter by Sefer Torah at all, right? Or the possible, like you're saying, which is that you use some sort of proportional, right, percentage, and you say by Sefer Torah, we would add the same amount percentage-wise to the Sefer Torah. It's not clear from Tosos which way you would go. So now, this is an interesting story. So this goes back to the story that you were telling earlier. Halu Tayato was this non-Jewish Ishmaelite, the Aiti Chaita de Tfile, the Kamide Abaye. She had a sack of tefillin that she brought before Abaye. So she's kind of warm, thinking that she's going to sell and make out with big bucks from him. So Amar Lo, you have it, Li Resh Resh. Batamre, he says, listen, I'll give you each zug, each pair of tefillin, I'll pay you one date for them. So he says, you know, they're not worth so much. I'll pay you a date for each one of them. So Malia Zihara, she got so angry. She thought she was coming to take, you know, the big bucks back home, and he's offering her like a date per pair of tefillin. So she got so mad. Shakla, she took them. She had Inu Benaron, threw the tefillin into the river, thinking that, you know, I mean, these things are worthless. She threw them out. So Amar, he says, Abai says about himself, I shouldn't have been so cheap with her. Meaning that I shouldn't have made it, you know, I mean, she has no idea what the real value of these things are. I should have at least made it at least something that she would feel okay about taking versus I made it like it's like nothing. It's worthless, and therefore she treated them in a way that was worthless also. He says, I think I went too far in this case. It's just a very interesting story. All right. Now, next Mishnah, another Tikkun Olam Mishnah. And this we saw this together in Ksubos. We had this, we learned this sugya also. Motzei et ishto mishum shemra. Someone who divorces his wife because there are rumors spreading about his wife's fidelity. Lo yachzir, he may not return her. Meaning that he is now precluded from remarrying her. Mishum neder, if he divorces her because of a neder that she took, lo yachzir, again, he may not return this woman, he's precluded from retaking her. That's whether she marries another person or does not marry, he's precluded from taking her. This, again, the Tikkun Olam, the Gemara is going to discuss what the issues of Tikkun Olam here, right? There are different possibilities of the Tikkun Olam. I mean, I'll spill the beans now, but the two Tikkun Olams are, one is because we're worried about Kilkula, which is the possibility that if the husband regrets retroactively having done this because he didn't know the halacha, then we're afraid that he'll undermine his get, and by undermining his get, then he creates a problem if the woman has now been remarried, and he will be oker his get by doing this, and by oker his get or oker the neder, then he runs into a problem, right? You run into a problem. The other possibility is that is to discourage Bnot Yisrael from being putzot b'nedarim. That we want to discourage the women from acting in such a manner. So therefore, if they get divorced because of these rumors or because of these nedarim, we say it's a permanent thing in order to discourage them from acting in such a manner. If it has to do with a neder that is public, meaning that people know about, then you cannot return her, right? But lo yadubo rabim, if people don't know about it, then yachzir, then he can return her. Again, this has to do with the issue of he thinks the problem is that we don't want Bnei Yisrael to be putzot b'nedarim. So Ted, what's the severity of neder that she took? Right, if the neder is something that's yadubo rabim, that's already so severe we don't want to be putzot. So that's we're koneser in that case. But in the case where it wasn't known to the rabim, then we're not koneser. Rabbi Meir, who thinks the problem is kilkula. So Rav Meir says, Omer, kol nedar tzarich kriyat chacham leyachzir. If it requires hataras nedarim, then we don't take her back. V'sheinu tzarich chacham leyachzir. But if it doesn't require hataras chachamim, then we don't take it back. Why? Because Rav Meir believes that what's the problem? How does being hataras nedarim work? Hataras nedarim works that you're oker lemafreya. So if the husband finds out later that he could have been oker the neder lemafreya by going to hataras nedarim, then he does that and then he ruins the whole get. He can be oker the whole thing lemafreya and ruin it. So we don't do that. We don't allow it. Amar Abalazar lo asru zel in pnei zeh. No. You got it all backwards. They were only oser a neder that requires a hataras nedarim because of a neder that does not does not require Hataras Nedarim. And because it does not require Hataras Nedarim, so he says, you got it backwards. Again, we'll see this in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Masib, that Rabbi Elazar says, you got it all wrong. You're saying that, according to Rabbi Meir, the Iker Takana was because of a Neda that requires Hataras Nedarim. Rabbi Elazar says the opposite. He says, no. The only reason they answered a case where it requires Hataras Nedarim is because of a case where it didn't require Hataras Nedarim, and that's the main problem. The main problem is that in Neder that does not require Hataras Nedarim. Why? It's because he thinks that... the Hafara, that the husband could be made for the Neder. And since he says, I didn't know I could have been made for the Neder, and now he finds out he could have been made for the Neder. On the day that he finds out he could be made for the Neder, he could be made for the Neder. If he's made for the Neder, then he can okay the Neder. Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Masa B'tzidan Echad, there was a person from Tzidan, Sh'amar Li Ishto, Konim Im Eni Mergashech. Right, he says, I take a nether that I'm going to divorce you, v'kirsha. And then he divorced her. V'etiru lo chachamim she'achzirenu v'pnei tikkun olam. Again, they allowed him to return her afterwards, right, because of tikkun olam. What's the tikkun olam over here? We don't know yet, and that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. That's going to be a farish big Gemara. Right now, Amar Rabbi Yosef, this was your question, Shaul. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Farimin Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, v'hu... Our Mishnah, when it says that he cannot return her, v'hu she'amar lo, that's if he said to her, mishum shemra ani motziach, or mishum neder ani motziach. He explicitly says what the reason he's giving the get for. So ma tai mamai, what's the problem? Mishum kilkula, we're worried about him messing her up afterwards. Why? Because he gave the explicit reason. Right? He wasn't obligated to give the reason, but since he did give the reason, now we're afraid that when it comes later on, he finds out that the rumors were not true, or he finds out he can get rid of this neder, that he's going to be okay the get, because he can say, I made a t'nai in the get, and that the t'nai is failing now, I'm going to go back. Yamar lahachi matzi makalkala. Because if he makes such a statement, he ruins it, he could ruin her, and because of that, that's when we imposed the takanas chachamim, right? And therefore, he cannot return her, even if she doesn't remarry. V'lo, but if he never made such a statement, then lo matzi makalkala, he can't ruin her, because we don't say dvarim shalei v'enim dvarim. If he didn't explicitly say why he's giving the get, then he can't open the get. There's no kilkul here, so then he can take her back, because there's no takanas chachamim here. Igadamri, there's another possibility. This Amar of Yosef Bar Yumi, Amar of Nachman, the statement of Nachman says, Tzarech Shiomar La Haviyodat. He must say to her, you must know that I'm divorcing you Mishum Shemra. Ani Motziech, Mishum Neder Ani Motziech. If he does it, is it a problem, but he must say that to her. Why must he say that to her? Because several times in my Kadesh Lo Yubinoti So Putzot Barayot Ubin Nedarim. Right, that the problem, or he thinks the problem in our Mishnah, the Tikkun Olam in our Mishnah, is that we don't want the women acting inappropriately. Therefore, when he divorces her, that's the Takanas Chachamim. When he divorces her, the Takanas Chachamim says, you must say this to her so she knows what the reason she's getting divorced is because of this, to prevent her from acting in this manner. I mean, we're trying to prevent women from acting in this manner, and you must explicitly state the reason for the divorce. Hilkach, Sarach Lameimar Lohachit. Therefore, he must say this, or he must direct her in this manner. Oh, so that's a good, very good. So that's a good question. If he doesn't, right, Rashi over here says, a very good question, Shaul. If he doesn't, Rashi says, Mihu ben Amar, ben lo Amar lo Yachzir. Once a Chumim established the Takana, it doesn't matter if he says it or not, but he should say it. That's the Takana that he should say it. If he doesn't say it, still doesn't change the status, because the Takana's Chumim applies no matter what. All right, we'll stop over here.